Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, faith is can be a very strange thing, because it makes you, before it manifests what it is you're believing for, look like a fool, really. And until actually you get to that point of being a fool, you really are not in faith. Remember, I was telling you how you expand within yourself, and you don't look like anything is happening in your life, yet actually a lot is happening in your life, only it cannot be seen, or it's not definitive to people who are watching you from the outside. And it's only somebody who sees with the eyes of faith who understands that this person is growing. Now, that's a very powerful thing, because anything that is not birthed in faith in this time, in this season, any throne that is not sat on in faith in this time is no throne at all. It's a complete waste of time. Because when the things that are birthed in faith, you know, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said that anything that was not planted by my heavenly Father has to be uprooted. Now that time comes when whatever it is that was planted by the arm of flesh has to be uprooted. And it can be something so good, it can be something that has sustained you and something powerful, but if it was not planted by God, it has to be uprooted. Because there was a time when those things could survive, where people would have, you know, powerful churches when they were never called to pastor, and they thrive on those churches and actually live their life doing something which God never called them to do. And they die. And okay, they don't have any silver and gold, but they have wood and, you know, wood and what? Wood and hay and straw. And when they stand before God on the day of judgment, it's all burnt up. But somehow they went through. But then, you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, start from verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, which is symbolic of God's perfect will, you doing the perfect will of God, or silver, which is permissive will, redemptive will. Silver is a metal that signifies redemptive will. Or precious stones. Now, these precious stones, I wish you understood that actually, it is so much about, there is doing the will of God. But the precious stones is so much about how you treat people in your life and how important that is to God. And I think people do not realize that anything that you do that causes misery and, you know, what in people's lives is actually the opposite of precious stones. Now, every time you encourage somebody or do something, you know, of that nature, you actually are building with precious stones. And every time you uplift somebody, you're building with precious stones. And then the rest is wood, hay, and straw. Now, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Okay? Now, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Verse 16. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. But even so, before you're saved, anything that you did has to go through fire. So, of course, if it is wood, hay, and straw, you spent all your life doing a lot of activity, but in eternity, it amounts to nothing. it was a complete waste of time as far as eternity is concerned. Because if it was not what God called you to do, then it's actually wood, hay, and straw. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse I think 20, where it says, in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but they're also of wood and clay. So there are people who are vessels, and by choice, who are vessels of gold and silver. That is, people who will choose to do the absolute perfect will of God, and they make themselves vessels of gold and silver. But you see, it goes on to say later on that for people to be of this kind, vessels of honor, vessels of gold and silver, they have to do certain things which so many people do not want to do. Because the reality is, when somebody chooses to do the perfect will of God, it attracts, first of all, a lot of people getting out of your life. And if you wanted those friends and you valued them and so on, you're going to keep yourself at a vessel of dishonor. Okay? And you keep yourself there. And God is not going to force that on anybody. You have to choose that now, if I really am going to do what God called me to do, I cannot be with this one as my friend, this one as my friend, this one as my friend. And you just choose them and separate yourself from them. And you start reconstructing yourself, so to speak. And now when you do that, you actually find that it's lonely at the top. Eh? But then you cannot exercise influence on people whom you're hanging out with all the time. And now that is, especially for certain characters of people, that's a very tough thing. Because you want them to be your friends, but then you're called to be higher than them. And you're called to have some kind of dominion over them. But you cannot have dominion over your friends. So you just have to take them out of the realm of friends and separate yourself and find that it's lonely at the top. And actually, it can be lonely. Completely lonely. Now, if you want the company, then you will stay there and keep yourself a vessel of dishonor, which means you are at a certain level for which you were never called. Now, for now, that can seem okay because you're surviving and all. But on that day, when you stand and you realize what you could have been and what you forfeited for a few friends who mean nothing, in light of that, then you realize that I wish I'd actually taken that step. Now, the steps can be somehow painful. And then you notice that you're going to offend people, and it's part of the process, and it's okay with God that you offend people because they expect to see you at a certain level. Now, if you choose to go away from them, after some time you come back. Let me tell you how human beings are. When you are a part of them, everything you say is common. There is nothing, no matter how powerful the revelation, that they will take seriously. Now, separate yourself and go, and then come back after some time. And then you will speak, and even people start putting their spoons and forks down. What did you say? The guy is eating, cutting his steak. Then you say something, then he puts down the fork. But now, before that, they cannot. And it is impossible, and you cannot exercise dominion over them, and you have to run away from them, and it is a part of growing up, and it is a part of making yourself a vessel of honor, a vessel of gold, or even silver. And if you don't do that, you be some kind of. And you know, there are people who are called for the purpose of making great people small, and that is their calling. And they are called for that purpose, just to be there. And now they will never go around small people. They will always go around people. I don't know how they notice it, but they go around people who are supposed to be great. And their work is to keep them, there. So they come around and, they are good people, they are friends. And you take one path, he takes, in his heart he takes another, but he wants to be around you. Even if his heart is not in what you. Now, when you come and tell somebody like that, and you see if you even keep him as a friend, and you come and tell him something powerful that you are believing God that has not yet manifested, and does not even look like manifesting, He might not even say anything, but their attitude suddenly brings you down to your level. The level where you are supposed to be thinking away from. You understand? Now, you cannot have serious meditation when you're surrounded by people like that. You know the Bible has a name for them. Eh? They are called the mixed multitude. They are here and there. They are neither attached to one thing nor to the other. They are somehow mixed. And they, for some reason, they will never go the other side. They will only come to the side of the revelation. But they are mixed. It talks about them in what? Here in the Exodus. A mixed multitude went up with them also. And flocks, start from verse earlier, 35. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they were granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds and a great deal of livestock. Now you see, the scripture mentions mixed multitude with what? With flocks and herds and livestock. But then there are these mixed multitude, who actually were people who in the sojourn of the children of Israel in Egypt had intermarried, or their parents had, and they were actually sons of Egyptian and Hebrew parents. So when Pharaoh cracked the whip on Israel and made them make bricks without giving them straw, and when they went about looking for straw to make their same coat of bricks, these people had a preferential treatment. They were not treated as good as the Egyptians, but then they were also never treated as bad as the what? As the Hebrews. They were somewhere in between. They were a mixed multitude because they had a bit of the race of the Egyptians, and then they were a bit of Hebrews. So actually, for the most part, they were the foremen. They were the people who were pushing, you know, who they would tell you, now go and tell your people, we want this number of bricks. So they are the ones who actually, for the most part, cracked the whip. So there's an Egyptian master, and then there are this mixed multitude. Now, when Egypt was completely plundered by the plagues of Moses, these people think, and then now when there is the plundering of Egypt, go and get all the gold and silver. So these people are thinking, now, if we stay in Egypt, we become the slaves. Because the people who are beneath us are all going. So they presume that if they go with the Hebrews, they will remain superior to them the way it was in Egypt. So there is a part of the Egyptian system that is attractive to them, because it did not treat them quite as bad. And then, you know, everybody looks for somebody who is beneath them. Okay? So you see, like even in racial societies, so this race thinks that it's higher, then the others think they are there, then this one's also. Then you also find, you know? So then you find even people, you know, even confused races like Indians, thinking they are superior to us, who at least have a definition. We are black. For them, they are confused. What are they? You understand? Eh? You say when they are described, you say black and white and anything in between. Eh? Now those in betweens think they bakabi. Eh? But you see, everybody thinks, wants to get somebody who is what? Who is under them, because it makes them feel good. That okay, we are, yeah, okay. But also the blacks, also them, they say, now for us we have this tribe. Eh? Then the other ones are beneath. So somehow it's just carnality. People trying to look for, you know, very silly groupings which do not add any value to who they really are. But then, so this mixed multitude, so they think if they move with Moses, now Egypt has been plundered, now we know if we stay here, it's going to be tight for us, because we are going to be the slaves. So now let's go with the slaves and hope that we'll still be in charge. Now what that meant is actually they always stood in opposition to the authority of Moses. So every time Moses came up with something, they had something. But you know, it's not just this here where they are. They are actually, every move of God has mixed multitude. And you have to understand that. And their work is to somehow distort the order of God. by creating a parallel order. And that's their calling. That's their calling. Actually, somewhere in the Bible, it calls them mingled people. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 5. Mingled people. Now, those are people who are here and the other side. So they're kind of confused. And also talks about them. They are whatever. Anyway, so now let's go to here. Now, the mixed multitude. So when they come to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes away for 40 days and 40 nights, and they are confused. How can somebody be alive after 40 days and 40 nights? He must be dead. So it's the mixed multitude who come up and say, let us make a god for ourselves and worship. Let us get a leader and go back to Egypt. Because for them, there is that Egypt thing of where they were the superiors. Now, actually, they have become the inferiors. And this Moses, man, okay, in Egypt, Moses would be under me. But now Moses is above me. So what makes me want to submit to Moses' authority? Seeing as he's... So they are kind of in between. So they are the ones who say, let's go back to... Let's get somebody for ourselves and we go back to Egypt. And that remains their story all along. So they are the ones who always stop the people. And actually, I remember in the old movie of Ten Commandments, it actually brings it out well because it's based on historical records. Now, the scripture doesn't say too much about mixed multitude, but those movies get historical records and actually show how one of them was permanent. And he used to actually go into Pharaoh's whatever, but he was like a messenger boy of Pharaoh, but with privileges. Now, he's the one who would come and inflict things on Israel. Now, when tables turn, he can't stay there, so it's kind of mixed. And even this whole mixed multitude thing, who they are, I actually had to read it from historical accounts. But just to show you what these mingled people. Now, Numbers 11, start from verse 1. It says, now the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burnt among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, now Moses had just prayed to God over their grumbling, and the fire had stopped, which was consuming them. But then the mixed multitude, because they still have a lingering thing. Now let me tell you, in this whole movie, I know, like, you cannot avoid mixed multitude. They come among us, they are the ones sent spies, they are tapping our phone calls, they are doing what? They see this system, this failing system, as something that gives them advantage. But then they don't want to be there completely. I wish they would just go and be there. But they can't. But you see, if you don't understand, you say, why are they here? But they come. And they even rise and they even look like they are serious people. And they are, you know, but they come and they lead everybody. They lead the people astray. Now, some of them will come and are telling people who are pursuing God, telling them, you know, we have a gold deal. And they're just confusing people. Now, when somebody comes up and has a powerful testimony of money, they are the people who are immediately. Now, of course, I'm used to dealing with them. There are people who have just learned how to deal with them, and man, I can see them getting angry because they can disturb you. By the way, you know where, you know, every phone call is tapped, everything is, and it's not that I care, because really, I mean, let them tap. But can you imagine stupid people who have a lot of time to listen to all sorts of conversations? So you're talking about football, Uganda, Senegal, what? The guy is there listening. And they are protecting a system which, I mean, how, like, any person who has brains can see that this Titanic of this government has already hit the iceberg. It's on its way down. But there are people who are still recruited. Imagine boarding the Titanic when it has already hit the iceberg. Do you know why? Because they don't have the ability to see beyond what they see. They are, like, that is the ultimate curse. That's why Paul says, if like Because people came and said the resurrection has ended, and you know, yeah, this is, you know, heaven is here on earth and what. And Paul said, if that were the case, then we are of all people the most miserable. Because why are we suffering? Because you see, but he said, if those people come and bring down people's faith, because why do you suffer unless you believe there's something better ahead? Why do you yet believe? Why do you go through hardship unless you completely believe? Now, these people do not have the ability to believe, but they don't want to disbelieve there because they will never have the privileges. I actually told one of them that this system you're serving is not doing you well. You're broke, and he's broke. Totally broke, but he's still serving this. I told him, now you, if you were wise, you'd come to me. Because when my time comes, I might give you something good. You see, you remember the two guys at the cross? Eh? One of them knew that this man is dying with us, but he has something. So he says, remember me when you get there. And the man goes straight to heaven. Eh? Because he understood that what? Okay, this man is here with us, eh? But he's not like us. There is something. So he says, so he even rebukes his friend and says, how can you, for us we are thieves. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he just, final plea, Lord, remember me when you get to your kingdom. Can you imagine? So the guy is cheating in heaven. Eh? Now the other one who sees here says, ah, if you are this, what? Eh? If you think you're going to be this, eh? You think you're going to be that. By the way, I will be whether they like it or not. Eh? Now, so I told him that instead of, why don't you come to me? Take a gamble with me. Eh? Because even where you've chosen to cast your lot, they are not giving you anything. You think those people can give you anything? They are the most of a copy. The brokest people are the people who work for them. Like, I've seen people who work for them and they are completely, totally sold out to that system and they are totally broke. You would rather be broke away from it rather than being with people who are stealing a lot of gold, oil, what, and they can't even give you bukunkumuka because they have a copy. You understand? Eh? Bourgeois people who grew up in poverty, who were underwears at the age of 15. Those are the stories they tell. Eh? Now, those are not my stories. Eh? Those are stories. So, now, by the way, I would rather be broke away rather than be broken. Because what? Like, I would rather take a gamble. You understand? Eh? On the, like, let me believe God. Because if this thing works, I'm going to be a powerful person. So I told that guy, the door is about to close on your face. If you don't come and be nice to me, and you be there tapping my phone calls, eh? You'll grass in this world and in the world to come. And you used to say, I was his friend, eh? But I don't want to know you. Eh? Like he says, can I see? I am telling you, these mixed multitude people, eh? Very dangerous. Now, what was there in Egypt? For these people who were slaves in Egypt, like we were, you understand? Let me tell you, we tried that system. We tried that system. Now, simple things in that system make everybody, whoa. Because that system, unless you're like, I don't know, but we're honest, work, what? You're not stealing anything because you're going to heaven and what? Eh? Like, there is no hope. There's absolutely no hope that you're going to own your house. And you see, I would study those things because I would see people where I was working. I'm seeing somebody who is like going in his 60s. He still has children in school. They are going to retire him forcefully. They are even hanging on to him, like they are even being kind to him not to retire him. Because the things you're doing, a 25-year-old can do. And for him, he's swift. The medical insurance which they are giving, he does not need it because he only gets malaria like once in a year. You understand? Now for you, you have medical insurance for many children and what. So the company is seeing you as a liability. They would rather give your job to a young boy who is going to cut down their medical insurance, going to do your work better, faster, and what? So I would look and say, am I going to stay here and what? And wait for this period. But you know, anyway, the Lord helped me. And I said, you know what? Somehow I just woke up one day and quit without any plan whatsoever. But I said, I would rather be in a place where there is no ceiling. And I hope I will go high. But I might not, but I hope I will. But at least there is hope I will. You understand? Rather than being a place where you know the ceiling is here and there is nothing you're going to do which is going to take you past that ceiling. So you just live your life, earn a living, somehow hope your kids go through school and what, then you retire somewhere in some village and hope you have enough malewa to eat until you die. Okay, can you imagine such a miserable life? And I don't know that I honestly, if your life is about earning a living, and then afterwards, you die. Even if you die and you're born again and you go to heaven. Like, how, what kind of life is that? Like, where you're not seeing anything of influence, anything of dominion, anything of, at least see it. It may not happen. But at least see it, have the ability. If you see it, of course, it will happen. But at least let there be hope. Now, when people do not choose a path that is not of faith, like these mixed multitude people, they become very dangerous to even deal with. You know, there was a pastor who was a friend of mine, and he would tell me that he doesn't sit with people like that because he's somebody who actually believes that he believes he's going to be the first billionaire in his family. Now, that's a good thing to believe, or in his lineage. But you see, every time he sat with fellow pastors, they are all talking about what? About how to kufera bazungu or what? Somebody one day came and told me to funaba dema to baby fananyi. Then to be where is abazungu but we sent. So I looked at the guy and I said, huh? So okay, now you're just going to gather lame people and photograph them and you get money. Okay, like I think without faith, people who don't have faith think people of faith are stupid. But when we see them, we see they are very stupid. So he went and what? Gathered Valema. They almost beat him up because he didn't have anything for them. if they were not lame, and if he hadn't taken off, because he just, like he gathered. Now, afterwards, he came back to me when that had failed. Then he had something different now. He was my friend way back. So he had something different. Now, let's do this and what. Then I realized, I think the way of faith. This... You know? Now, those are the people you encounter when you sit down with those people. By the way, when we canceled our case, say what? Yeah, conference. Because those pastors wanted a lot of money from us and what? And that's all they know, really. Eh? That's all they know. Now, they're saying, first pay us this amount of money before you come. Eh? I am going to drive my car to come and teach you the gospel. And you want me to pay you? Why don't I drive to the beach? Are you kidding me? Why don't I drive to the beach? So, we decided, okay, let them go ahead and what? But when Jezebel calls for them, they will all go running. And she will not give them a single coin. Not one coin. But they think it's a privilege to be associated with her. Kudiruchi. Like, she will not even give you one coin. Nothing. Nothing. Actually, she even asks pastors for money. That chick. bad. Eh? And they go. There is one of them who, he can even be on the pulpit. Then she calls and says, "Huh? Can I come and preach? They have called me to State House." Like, okay, like. People who have sold their birthright. And do they have money? No, actually they don't. Totally none, nothing. Nothing. They have no money, no dignity. Nothing. So anyhow, mixed multitude. Yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel. Now, the mixed multitude are the ones who stir it up. Then the children of Israel pick it up. Now, this is how these people are. Somebody stirs you up and says, now can you, and actually stirs you up against somebody who is taking you somewhere. where you're going to arrive by faith. Where you have a promise of God, you're going to this place, which is powerful, which is wonderful, and it is going to be, you know, flowing with, you know, whatever and whatever. And the Lord is continually assuring you that when you come to that place and you've built houses and you've planted vineyards and you're drinking the wine thereof and you're eating the, you know, all the good things, the pomegranates. What's pomegranates anyway? How does anybody expect me to know the pronunciation when I don't even know the fruit? But those things, when you're eating. Now, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Now, they had just cried for meat. Then there was a plague. Then Moses prayed. Then a mixed multitude came against Moses and said, no, this guy. At some stage, actually, they said, is he going to take our eyes away from us? Like, how can this guy deceive all of us? Now, that's really, they said, has this guy taken our eyes away that he can actually lead all this congregation to die in the wilderness? And then the children of Israel were stirred up. And then another plague came. The mixed multitude, okay, wept again. Who will give us meat to eat? Go ahead. We remember the fish we ate freely. Freely? They were not slaves. They were not completely slaves. Now, these ones who were slaves were saying, okay, we ate maybe some meat, but it was not freely. We had to go and walk mountains to get straw to make bricks. But these ones did not have to. They were the nyamparas, the four men. Okay, we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Onions and garlic. So you want to go back to Egypt because of onions and garlic. Okay. But you say, but now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Then it says, now the manna was like coriander seed and its color like the color of whatever. Remember the scripture calls it the food of angels. So God was giving them food of angels. It calls it that in Psalms. But they wanted garlic, which smells. And what? And onions. Now, so they despise. Now, this is the thing about these people. Like, they despise anything that is of faith. They despise the process. They despise what God's promise. But they don't go out of the people who actually are believing. And these are people who had believed until the mixed multitude stirred them up. And say, now it's okay, go ahead. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it in mortar, cooked it at pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. Okay, whatever that tastes like. But it tastes like food of angels. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. And Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. Now, remember, now this guy has just prayed for them when they were beginning to die in the outskirts of the camp. And he prayed to God, and the fire stopped. But now, immediately, the mixed multitude come up, and now the same people, each one is in their families, is crying. Everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of God was greatly aroused. Now, this time, Moses was also displeased. Now, remember, you imagine, 600,000 tents, men, but they were, of course, like in excess of 2 million people, because when they say 600,000 men, they are counting heads of families. So that's 600,000 families. Now, everyone, 600,000, just think about it. Then all of them stand at their tents and say, now, you imagine, what do you do to these people like this? Now, you have just prayed to God to take it away. Now, they are there, all of them standing at the door of their tent and weeping. Now, listen to what Moses did. So Moses also got pissed. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Now imagine this guy. Now he says, did I conceive all these people? Zenabazara. Like you've carried them, very stubborn people. Very stubborn people. Even when the Lord said, come and said, let me just wipe them away and I make out of you a nation. You say, no, Lord, please remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom you promised that you will bring their descendants. Then God says, okay, I've relented because of you. Now Moses pleaded. Then at some stage he said, but really, these people. Now, am I the one who gave birth to them? Why is God making me suffer carrying all this burden? Huh? Did I beget them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you have swore their fathers? Now, these guys, I want you to know that every move of God, not just this one, I showed you there in Jeremiah chapter 25. Now, this was also a time, and you've heard the story of, like, in Israel, when the word of God came to Jeremiah, and he was telling them that stop what you're doing, or God is going to give up the kingdom of Judah to Nebuchadnezzar. And he warned them for a period of close to 40 years. He was called as a youth, and he remained warning Judah especially, that change this. If you change, the Lord will spare you. But they refused to listen to him. That's the whole story really of Jeremiah. They totally refused to listen to him, and they were hard against anything to do with prophecy, anything to do with the warning of God. Even when everything Jeremiah had prophesied came to pass, and Nebuchadnezzar came and raised them, those who remained, remember one time when I read to a scripture, those who came and told him, inquire of the Lord for us, they still refused. Now people like that, they will never accept anything that has a future connotation to it. They want a chiriwo. You come and promise them something, they will give up. That's the Esau. They will give up everything for a plate of food. So they will spend all their time listening to people's phone calls, thinking that that can stop me from being what God called me to be, because you're listening to my phone calls? Are you kidding me? Listen to all of them. Like, they don't see, they cannot see the power of God. And no matter what you do, they will never see it. They will never see it. But they will never leave among, from, they will never get out of from amongst the people who are seeing it. They prefer to operate within. Anyhow, so let's go back to our scripture of Jeremiah chapter 25. Now here again, we see the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah. Now this is a very important time. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. Now this was coming close to actually Nebuchadnezzar coming to destroy the kingdom of Judah. And the Lord was still up to the very last moment giving them a chance. If you repent, then it will not happen. But go to verse 4. Guess where the people messed them up? Okay. All the mixed multitude of all the kings of the land of Uz. Now, I will not read the whole thing, but these are the guys who messed them up. When the prophecy comes, they come and say, no, there's not going to be any such thing. Actually, they came with counter prophecies. And they are the people who even stirred up the people to arrest Jeremiah and throw him in a pit. So they got him. They went, these same guys, mixed multitude. They went to the king and convinced him that Jeremiah is stirring up people. And the king got him and put him in a what? In a pit. Now let me show you another one. Nehemiah. You know what was happening in the time of Nehemiah? After the exile, which after Nebuchadnezzar, 70 years in exile, now the Lord stirs up the king and sends Nehemiah to go and build the what? The walls of Jerusalem, because the time of punishment was over. Okay, according to the prophecies which were given by Jeremiah in chapter 29. 70 years has been determined for your punishment. Now when the 70 years were over, God moved on Daniel to pray for the people who are going to rebuild Jerusalem. And Daniel prayed and repented for the sin of Israel in Daniel chapter 9. Then God moved the king, and Nehemiah was serving the king in the, you know, and the king saw his countenance, you know the story, and said, why are you sad? And he says, because of the walls of Jerusalem. And the king gives him permission to go because of the prayers of the intercession of Daniel in chapter 9. Now he goes, because Daniel understood by the spirit that the time for the exile of Israel and Judah was over. So Nehemiah goes there. Now when he arrives there, he finds chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, they read the book of Moses in the hearing of the people. Now, I want you to know that by this time, This was so many years after the Moses, and so people had even forgotten anything to do with the law. They had been in exile. These are people who had come back from Babylon. They didn't know anything about what the law of Moses said. So they actually, even finding the book of the law was a miracle. They uncovered it from somewhere. And then they said, this is the book of the law. So they read it in the hearing of the people. And it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God, because they had not met the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Chapter 3. So it was when they had heard the law that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. Now, this is what it took for them, actually. Now, let me show you what some of the mixed multitude had done. Okay, go ahead. Verse 4. Now, before this, Eliashib the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah. Now, Sanballat and Tobiah were the two most powerful enemies of Nehemiah when he was accomplishing the task of building the wall. Now, one of the mixed multitude, who actually happened to be a priest, but mixed multitude priest, was allied with the enemy of Nehemiah. And he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes, the grain and the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers and the offerings for the priests. But during all this year, I was in Jerusalem for the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon. I had returned to the king. Then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king. I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly, because what he did, what Eliashib did, is he actually handed over the treasury of the tithes, the offering, the grain and what, and handed it to Tobias, who was an enemy of Nehemiah. Now Nehemiah, after having left the king and come and started the building of the wall, there was a function in Persia, the king's function, where he had to go because he was still the king's servant. So he went back to Jerusalem. He went back. And then when he came back, one of the mixed multitude had actually handed over the whole treasury to Tobias. So he had to come and cleanse the whole thing. Now, in every move of God, just to know, there is people who are there, purpose, and that's their purpose, and that's their calling. And they are fulfilling their calling. And they know how to discourage people. And if you do not understand how it works, if you don't understand how it works, okay, they will stir people up against a powerful move of God. So they will come for any sort of order, any order, anything that is building up. You know the system, this Titanic, The one thing they want to know, is how are you going to get money? To do those things. You understand? Because they know without money you cannot do what? You cannot do anything. But because they have taken money out of everybody and turned everybody into paupers, MPs, what, everybody, all of them are just begging, give us some money, give us some money. Because all the money has been put in the hands of one person. And he's Jezebel. And that is the strategy. Just deprive people of money. So even the other guy, the ganja man, they cannot let him do his concert, because he'll be campaigning and getting money. So they can't. But see, they can handle him, but they can't handle us. Because our money comes spiritually. You understand? And it comes on a need to have basis. There's not going to be a stack somewhere. So they keep on checking accounts. There's not going to be a stack somewhere. No. When we need it, it comes. So tell me how you're going to handle that. Now let me give them a secret, because they're also here. They actually brought some of them here the other time, after the other oil thing I wrote. They came here and put some fake money, witchcraft money, in our offering. trying to like stop us from getting money, as well as other things. Eh? But you see, as the great prophet said, if anybody is still scared of witchcraft, you have not known what is happening here. Witchcraft? Are you kidding me? Witchcraft? I have the Spirit of God in me. Eh? And you're serving a fallen angel who is one of millions of angels. Your boss is a fallen angel. You know, eh? You know, it says when Jesus Christ comes at the battle of Armageddon, he sends an angel to go and bind Lucifer or Satan or whoever and throw him in a bottomless pit. Now, he does not go himself. Like, Jesus has no time with Lucifer. Like, he sends his fellow angel, like, you just go and bind that guy and throw him in a bottomless pit. Because there is ranks. But you see, the biggest lie the devil told the church is that he's so powerful and, like, how me was the Spirit of God by whom the world was created, including him? And I have Jesus in me? Really? Now, you know, somebody told me she had a dream where she's called to sing. So she had this dream where in the dream, she'll sing so many witches, very, very evil witches. With their heart was almost like as dark as the heart of, you know, demons. Eh? And they would go at night and do a lot of spiritual activity. Like, and it was all targeted towards like children of God. But then in the dream she was seeing they were working so hard and a Christian would just come and even pray for 10 minutes and destroy all their things. Like everything. And yet for them they are like day and night. And then in the dream the Lord told her that you see they are trying to, but she said if there is anything the devil could do, you would have done it. But there is nothing. Because she was seeing actually children of God like walking comfortably in spite all this activity, and not by one person, by it's so many witches who would gather actually inhale their spirits, you know, and they are that deep. But the impact on earth, on the believers, was so minimal. And she even said, Eva, this is unfair. It's very unfair. Now, then the Lord showed her, she's called to sing. Then the Lord showed her what happens when she starts singing. Now, she just sang a little. And all the witches took off just singing. Like she split and scattered all of them by just singing, just doing what God called her to do, singing. She split them and scattered them. And they were saying, like, if you could. Now, actually, what they were saying is their biggest, like, target was to stop people from doing the will of God, as if to just disalign them a bit. And actually, their target was especially women not getting the men for whom God wants them. So, like, to get a fake man and all that. Then, in the dream, they said, now that one escaped us. She got married to what? To the right man. And now they are so sad. That's too late. But then, there are these other ones. And then, even then, it wasn't like... So, she would see that after a lot of activity, some children of God who are walking on the path would just like get stuck a bit and then come back. And then like the impact was almost zero. Now, when the impact is not in the head of people, but now they are Christians who spend all their prayer time dealing with demons whose impact is zero. Okay, maybe 0.1, because there was some little impact. You understand? But the minute somebody purposes to do the will of God, like the devil is totally stripped. There is nothing he can do. Once you purpose it in your heart that I'm going to do the will. Now, you see, so when she told me this dream, I was like, okay, now there are people out there who think that using the power of those powerless witches, they can topple what God is doing in your life or in mine. Are you kidding me? It is impossible. As long as I decided I'm going to serve God. Unless I wake up one day and decide I'm not going to. But there is nothing. If there's anything the devil could do, he would have done it long time ago. You understand? You think he wants me alive? You think he wants me sitting on the mountain? But it's going to happen anyway. Now, and there is nothing. Now, I want you to understand that. So the most they do is actually to go through people. So somebody comes and gives you some fake advice. Now let's do this. We go here. We do this. And actually, the devil is actually most potent when he's dealing through people. The demons are powerless. They are completely powerless. You know, even in totally powerless. Actually, somebody was saying, somebody was telling me yesterday that there was this person who was dying and the person had been sick. So, at some stage, my demons just came and pulled his spirit out of his body and we are dragging him into a tunnel. Then, when this guy walked into the room, now, when the guy said that he was seeing him, he was in the tunnel being pulled, but he was seeing at a distance. Now, when the demons were pulling him to hell, so this guy, they just dumped him and took off like jets. Now, but there are Christians who actually think, but I wish people understood actually, like the power of God that is manifest in us. Do you understand? Then you start pursuing good things. Totally, you ignore the devil. He is a non-issue. After the cross, the Bible said Jesus triumphed over him and made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him in it. Those are not idle words. He is a useless. So he only will walk through mixed multitude. That's his most potent weapon. When he's dealing with people, walking through a husband, a wife, a what, you know, and all that. And even then, if you cover those people, if your husband is not born again and you cover him, even him, the devil will not use him because now you protected him. Okay? So he starts, if you don't protect him, then you start raising his head. Why are you going here? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? No, no, no. You just cover him. And he will shut up. And let you do what you want to do. I mean, good things. They come into fellowship. Because somebody can say, man, he's going to let me what? People can fill out that blank check with things which I never intended. Praise the Lord. So anyhow, if you are going to, if you actually set your heart out to be a vessel of honor, you will understand whom to listen to, whom to associate with. Who are the people who are surrounding you? What are the things that actually matter to you? Do you see this world as eternal? Do you see everything you do here as having an impact in the world hereafter? Do you know what it is like? You know, yeah, the thing, you know, there are some things which I think about sometimes and I say, now imagine, like I'm the guy who would be, you know, here on earth. So I'm here on earth, and I'm the guy who meets prophet and we have tea and what. But in heaven is those ends and I'm the other end. I have to go through metal detectors to see him. Actually, I cannot even go where he is. He has to come where I am. You understand? So when I think those things, I don't want that. So I say, so let me do the will of God so that I'm also what? Imagine like you're there seeing those ends. He's there with the apostle Paul, what? They are discussing. And for you, you can only see. Then you go to your mansion. Okay, mansion. Not commansion. Mansion. But I want the best in that world because it's eternal. This one is temporary. It's very temporary. So I want the best there because that's the one which is going to last forever and ever. This one, maximum, is going to last 15 or 16 years. Max. I'm telling you that. 15 or 16 years. You can take that to the bank, by the way. I'm telling you. So anything that is done with these few years, Now, for me, somebody who is my age, I remember 15 years ago is just like yesterday. For some of you who are younger, it can seem like a long time, but for me, it is not. 15 years, I remember, was, you know, then the years come, 15 years was like 2004. Eh? Like that was just like, you know, some of you are still in primary and all that. Eh? So it might look like a long time, but just give yourself time. You'll also see it as short. Eh? Now, so 15 years, I give up my birthright. Eh? Because of 15 years, the spirit of the mixed multitude is contagious like it was here in these days. And everywhere there is a move of God. There is a move of God in the days of Jeremiah. There is a move of God in the days of Nehemiah to rebuild the kingdom of God. There is a move of God to take the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And even in the New Testament, the scripture says, Paul says that there are some people whom I talk about even when I'm crying, whose God is their belly. Eh? Who do not believe the things that we believe. Even in the news, they are there. The Ananias and Sapphira. There is this powerful move of God. But for them, they are okay, they want to give, but they are in. So let's just give, you know. Okay, get the other one. This one, you know. Eh? So he cannot go all the way. You understand? Eh? Everybody is going all the way. They sell and bring everything to them. But this one can, like, eh, you know, could be that sharp. So, that's the spirit of the mixed multitude. And it rears its head. Only in the New Testament, they will not tell you that. But it's there everywhere. Eh? Start from verse 18. For many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. But they are not in the world. They are actually in what? In the church. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who set their mind on earthly things? They set their God is their belly. So you cannot deal with people like that. And you see now when the Lord shows you that even in all these things, you have to be careful whom you deal with. Because you start dealing with somebody and when the Titanic calls, they will rush and go and tell them everything they know. And they will give them nothing for their information. Nothing. Nothing. I can guarantee you that. They will not give you anything. And even if they gave them money, it's cursed money. And that's how pastors have even become very broke. By receiving money from those people. They call you and give you. And actually, you get it and put it among your command. Then the next thing you know, you don't have anything whatsoever. And they want to create a dependency where you're not depending on them. It has happened to so many of them. There was a time actually in the early 2000s when there was a bit of some kind of prosperity in the church. But now, man, you look at me, like seriously, look at men of God and you're like, man, something broke somewhere along the way. But in 2006, they called them top pastors and gave them 50 million to share. 50 million. 50 million Uganda shillings. And they jumped on it. Have you ever taken good food to like hungry prisoners or what? But after that there was a certain kind of brokenness hammered the church, which is extraordinary, which is not like natural brokenness. You know there is natural brokenness where you don't have money and what, but there is no spirituality. But then there is where it becomes spiritual, where you can't even get 1K. Then you know there is something wrong. Because how is that even possible? Now, because why? Because they don't have the ability to look beyond the desert and look ahead to the promised land and to the promise of God. They do not have that ability. Now the Bible speaks in Hebrews of people who left everything they had and looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And they said if they had wanted to go back, they could have gone back. But they didn't want to. Now, those are the people. And then it says that, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Because they are sold into something, and there is no element of mixed multitude in them. They are sold totally. If this thing works, I am going to be a powerful person. If it does not work, I am doomed, but I am going for it. One way or the other. For you waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go ahead. He says, by faith, Sarah. Okay, go to the next chapter. Next verse, brother. Therefore, from one man, and him, no. I think it's the previous one where it says that. Or the next. Go ahead. Look for it. Where it says, had they wanted, they had a chance to go back. Even Abraham, if he said, these things of God, I'm not interested. He could have gone back to the land of Ur, where God called him from. But then somebody sold out. And now some people think they are going to get the best of both worlds. It is not going to happen. It's not going to what? To happen. You cannot get the best of both worlds. Those who have sold themselves are going to get the real thing. The Joshua's Calebs. And those who are in between will be stirred up by the mixed multitude. You know the same guys who stirred them up. When they gave the evil report, the mixed multitude stirred up everybody and said, yeah, this guy is what? Then they even came to Moses and said, are you going to take out our eyes? As if, otfudeba jega. Like, really? Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, vessel of honor. Vessels of gold and silver. Praise the Lord. So the spirit of the mixed multitude. Don't let anybody mess you up. Simanyo. And now, here is the funny thing. Did you notice that these people raise their head every time there is something major happening? Exodus 11, they raise their head, the mixed multitude. The next chapter, actually, God sends the children of Israel to go and what? Spy the land, which means it was time for them to enter. And so again, the mixed multitude do spoil that. All the time. They only come when there are important events. So when you're on the brink of something powerful breaking through by faith, beware of people who promise you, who come with grand promises, which cut out the faith and bring the chikwati wako, you know, that sort of thing. Because let me tell you, when you acquire something, when you understand that world of faith, where you can actually materialize something by faith, completely materialize something out of the blue by faith, you will despise everything of this world. I am telling you. You despise everything of this world. When you have actually mastered it completely, that I can materialize anything I want by faith. And it comes almost immediately. And then you understand that there are certain things which some of you people take lightly. Like when Prophet said multiplication of money. Your money is multiplying. Then you just say amen, amen. And you do what? You leave it at that. Don't leave it at that. Go and try it. Go and try to multiply it. Because when the word is given, that's the season. You understand? Now when you do it in season, it is easy. If you wait for that word to go out, it becomes 10 times more difficult. I've told you that before. Yes. When the word is issued, everything you do at that time is easy. For that thing. Now, if the word is issued about multiplying money, why don't you try it? Because you see, the reason people listen to powerful words and stagnate is because they don't want to try out things. They expect something to what? To just fall. And yet actually, if you tried it out at that time, you try it out and see. Praise the Lord. I would have told you what I did, but I don't think it's, anyway. Like, where you say, okay, now I'm going to do this. And then you try it. Now, if you wait for another time, a word will have to come, number one, or number two, you will have to actually go through a lot to get yourself there. Go through a lot to get yourself there. Yet actually, at the time the word is released, it is that easy. Like even words that's of healing and what, you can get healed without a word through faith. But then you have to go through a lot of what. But then when the word is released, it is, you enter into it and it becomes very easy. How does it become? Just by just trying. Let's end with Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Now, why do people listen to words and they never grow? Because they don't run. They sit. They just listen and go home and they don't do anything about it. Now, the Bible says, write it down so that anybody who reads it may run. So, in other words, just go and now it, I've listened to it. This is what the vision says. Now, here is the corresponding action. Now I am running. Okay? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now let me tell you. So when the word was released about multiplying money, I said I'm going to do it. So I reached home. Actually, I was praying in tongues and the Lord reminded me, go and do it now. Like, now. I was in my living room downstairs. My wallet was upstairs. So I had to stop and go and get it. And then I got $100 and then put it there. And then I felt the Lord. That was Tuesday. I felt the Lord telling me, okay, $1,000. So I looked at the $100 and said, now it's becoming $1,000. So I envisioned it and I prayed in tongues for like 30 or so minutes. Envisioning that $100 becoming $1,000. That was Tuesday. On Wednesday, Mr. Lutuama here came and gave me $1,000. And I knew I was going to get it. I knew it. Like, it did not surprise me. He has never come and given me dollars. But he did it that day because I actually multiplied that money. And I can do it again. Now tell me how you're going to buy me. When I, like, now, this is cooking. Eh? You will see. So now I can just get it and put it there and say, now I want 10,000. You say, why don't you do it? I have to first know it's the will of God. And that time, even there are thousands. The Lord who told me to make 1,000. Actually, I had thought of 500. I think my faith was still a little small. But he told me 1,000. If I had said 500, he would have eaten the 500 and brought me 500. Now you'd be fatter on my 500 what? $500. Now, do you know why it was so easy? Just 30 minutes. Because the word was issued. Now, if you had tried the same, you'd be here with a testimony. That, write the vision that they may run. So for me, I ran. I did not sit. I ran. That he may run who reads. So I said, now I'm going to try it out. Now, this, everything, even those things which prophet says, I've demonstrated to you that I can come to partnership meeting in my spirit. Now the word is issued. Go and try it out. Run. You try and see. You just run. But you see, you just say, wow. He can do that? Yeah, you know he can. So why is it spoken there? You understand? Now, when it is still, the word is still lingering, eh? That's when you jump on it and say, also me, I'm going to start moving in the spirit. Now, if you wait when it is not said, you have to go through a process of meditation. But when you wait, it is said, it is hot. Eh? It's hot. So you jump on it. And by the words don't, when a word is issued, it has a season, eh? Where it's function. If you don't take it at that moment, it's no longer remote. Rema word has a span, time span. So when the word is issued and it's Rema, jump on it and say, okay, what did he say? He can do this. Okay. He's not saying it to brag. Like it is spoken by the Spirit. So that means anybody who actually runs can come into it. Eh? Now you bring for me $100 here and see if I cannot multiply it. Now, when you master the technique, when or even shillings. When you master the technique, when the word is out there, by the time the word goes out, you're already a superstar. And you can do it again and again. You understand? Do you understand, you people? Or am I wasting my time on? You're looking at me like this, yet I am telling you powerful things. The things I'm telling you are so powerful. And the Lord is my witness. Okay. So, me, I ran. So, you sit. Okay, don't sit. Praise the Lord. That they may run what? Who hear it? Who read the vision? They say, okay, so this is the vision. Now, but you see, there are people who have listened to powerful words for years and years. Actually, some guy was asking me the other day, but how come there are people who have been, you know, listening to these words for so many years, and I don't see any progress? And there's only usually one reason. Because most of them are actually people who are not even, they are totally believers. They sold out to it. But they don't know the principle of running. Okay? An issue of, okay, at least try and fail. Okay, like property, releasing property and what? At least go for some house and say that, let me handle. If you don't get the house, nobody is going to lock you up. You understand? Eh? The worst thing is when the word is released and you do nothing about it. At least go for some house and say, now I'm going to own this house. The word was released. Let me try. Let me believe. And at least go down trying. Eh? Eh. That is that is better. Then you say, okay, I didn't get the house, but let me wait until they release a car. And then I'll try again. If that doesn't work, I'll wait for some, and I'll try again. I don't, like, there is no spiritual things. You don't give up. You understand? You don't give up because it's only in, actually, you keep on trying. There is no way it can fail to work. Once you put your heart, that's why Jesus says, knock and the door will be what? Open. Seek and you'll find. Ask, receive. He says, for nobody knocks and the door is, he says, nobody knocks and the door is not open. The trouble is they don't knock enough. So try it out and say, now also me. Eh? Now I've even kugumizad the word. Now somebody go and multiply money. Eh? No, I dare you try it. Eh? Just envision. Look at, this is how I did it. Okay. I put the $100 on the table in my living room and then started seeing it as a thousand. Then I saw it as a thousand in my head. Then I saw it as a thousand. Then I saw it. And I'm just praying in tongues and drinking some herbal tea. Eh? Eh. I wasn't like it is done. Eh. So if I make it 10,000, one of you is going to lose $10,000. One of you will hear and come and what? And give me. Eh? It might even be him again. I know it. But my point is this, you try it. Eh? Now I want everybody here. On Wednesday, come with a testimony. And say, it happened for me. Amen? Try it and see. Try it. Like, let's not be religious people. So I just meditated on $100. Boom. Then I closed my eyes. I was thinking a thousand. When I finished, I put the $100 back in the wallet and started praying for other things. But I knew. Remember the word said that we're not talking about next week. Or you understand? You remember that? Eh? So I said, no, it has to happen tomorrow. Eh? It has to happen tomorrow. And it did. And it will for you. Eh? If you are ready to what? To run. When you read the what? Then verse 3 and we finish. Eh? It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end will, at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Okay? Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not even tarry. You understand? So, it will not lie. The vision will not lie. The thing, the word spoken will not lie. Try it out. Praise the Lord. Okay, I've spoken enough. Now, tell me, how a mixed multitude can confuse you, when you can actually multiply money? What are they going to confuse you with? You just say, give me that 50K. How much do I want? landlord is coming, what? My expense, 5 million. Don't become like greedy and say now you want $5 million with that. Like, you know these things, you have to start what? With what your level of faith is. And usually it is by the unction of the Spirit who will tell you, now start with. I wanted $500 because I felt that's where my faith was, but it's the Lord told me no, 1,000. I felt it. Don't say the Lord did not tell me. I felt 1,000. Like the Lord. Oh. So I said 1,000. Now, I could have said 100,000. But the thing is, I was trying this out. You understand? So now, the time will come when I will do that. And just like this, by the way. Just like this. So now tell those mixed multitude people. They are wasting time tapping my phone to find out who is going to sponsor my campaigns. I'm going to sponsor them myself. On what? By putting money on the table. Now, how can you stop that? Tell me how you stop that. You see, you have to rise above stupid witchcraft people. Servants of the devil. You rise above them. So if I want... you ain't seen nothing yet. So, how do you fight that? So are they going to stop it? I don't even have to put on the bank where they have control. If I want this amount for today, then the next day I get it. Then I pay for what I want to pay for. Then the next thing they know, man, I'm giving them what? Secrets. The reason I say this is just to show them they are totally insignificant. They are stupid fools, insignificant. Like, they cannot stop the way of faith. They cannot stop what God is doing. They are going to perish between two sides, here and there. Okay? They think this system has anything for them. It does not. And we could even have given them room, but we will not now. Because they are mixed multitude. We don't go to the promised land with mixed multitude. Praise the Lord. And we will get to the promised land. Whether the mixed multitude want it or not. We are all going to get there. You understand? So now go and tell them. They are here, you know. And I even know, I'm seeing one. Go and tell them. You know some of these things. You see, the thing is, people underestimate. And I think I like it that way. Because somebody comes to you and starts giving you stories. You know, I want you to tell me how you've worked. You know, ever since we started the prophet, like I think you seem to be the one who is catching one. And I know he's talking rubbish. But I pray along because I know he has come for the purpose of. I know one of them came to my office and he wanted to duplicate my phone. You know those things they do, Put the phone there and then, like, I knew what he had come to do and I look at him and I talk and talk and talk and then he thinks he's wise and he's a fool. There is nobody who operates in the natural who can be wiser than somebody who operates in the spiritual. You can't. Like, you think you're clever and you end up in the doldrums. Mixed multitude. You understand? There are certain things I can say here which I can't say anywhere. Because here I have the liberty. You came to listen to me. So I have the liberty to say whatever I want. But there are certain places where I have to be more careful. Because people didn't come to listen to me. You understand? Oh my God. So go and tell them that we are getting money spiritually. And Museveni's spies and all his bogus system cannot handle that. Because he belongs to an inferior kingdom. Like the kingdom to which he subscribes and his Jezebel are inferior. You understand? Totally inferior. Totally inferior. Praise the Lord. Now I am a representative of a powerful kingdom. I cannot be intimidated by somebody who represents an inferior kingdom. You understand? Yes. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I give you glory and honor. I bless your name, Father. I thank you for each and every person here today who connects In the name of Jesus, I thank you for powerful things that are happening in their life. I thank you for the word that is spoken, and that it shall be implemented and shall turn into something tangible. Word turn into flesh. Now, in the name of Jesus, even multiply your money for you. Eh? In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, because there is a divine enablement for people to get out of the systems of Babylon and to connect into the system of God. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, because whosoever hears this word sees their supply coming from you, Father, and not from anything in this world. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because of the multiplication of the increase for everybody who connects here this day. And I thank you, Father, because this word will be quickened in their hearts tonight and in the days coming, that they may see the vision and run and go and implement it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.